Well, good morning. It's great to see you today. I am honored and humbled to be able to be up here and to share with you a message I believe that will encourage you and hopefully help you think a little bit about why you come to church. So we'll be talking about sowing and growing. Don't just go to church. Let's pray. God, I do thank you for who you are. I thank you that we're able to come together, God, and lift your name high. I just pray that as I speak, God, you take me out of the equation. Fill this place with your voice, with your love, and with your heart. And let us all walk out of here just knowing you a little bit more. In Jesus' name, amen. So sowing and growing, don't just go to church. Why does church matter? We all have our reasons why we come to church. If we went around the room, I'm sure we'll have many different reasons why we came in this morning. Maybe if I know all the kids are in here this morning, maybe your parents made you come to church, or like you're going to church whether you like it or not. Or maybe you just come out of tradition because it's just something you've always done. Or maybe it's something to do on a Sunday morning. Or maybe you just really enjoy coming to church and so you made it a part of your life to be here this morning. Some just questions that I've asked myself the past couple weeks thinking about this. How do I get into the habit of coming to church for the right reasons? What's my mindset on church? Just something to think about. And when I think of church, what do I actually think? What do I think about this building? What do I think about coming to church? And I can honestly say that when I come to church, it's because I truly love God. I truly just love Jesus. I love everything about him. I love this place. I love the people. I love his people. And I really believe that when we come together, God moves. And so that's why I come to church. And as a family, my husband and I, we decided that we were going to make that a part of our lives as well. That it's just who we are. It's just what we're going to do. We're going to go to church. And I heard this phrase that church isn't a destination in which you attend. It's a posture of who you are. So it's not a place where you just go. It's actually a part of who you are. And we decided to make that a phrase in our family, that church isn't just somewhere that we go. It's a posture of who we are. And I'm so very thankful, so thankful. This is all God, that the question in our house isn't, are we going to church today? Saturday, our kids aren't like, are we going to church tomorrow? Like, what are we doing tomorrow? They know that Sunday morning, we go to church. The question isn't, are we going to church today? The question is, when are we leaving for church in the morning? Mom, when are you leaving? Dad, when are you leaving? Because a lot of times I leave a lot earlier, and Malachi usually will get up and come with me. But it's not, are we going? They know it's a part of our lives, and it's a part of what we do. Our main reference today will be out of Psalms 92, 12 through 15. I'm going to read that. It says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. We're going to focus on that phrase, that those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. We need to be planted in the house of God. The word planted refers to something that is stationary, something that isn't moving. It's grounded. And I looked up what it means when you plant a seed. And I know we all know this, but when I read this in relationship to us being planted in the church, it got me kind of excited. And said, when seeds are planted, they first grow roots. Once these roots take hold, a small plant will begin to emerge and eventually break through the soil. When this happens, we say the seed has sprouted. In essence, we go to church, but we shouldn't just be going to church. We need to sow. We need to be planted so that our roots can get down deep, so that when the tough times come, when the rain comes, the sunny times come, the wind comes, eventually you're going to break through. And that's when you flourish. So when you're planted in the house of the Lord, you flourish in the courts of the Almighty. We need to get planted. We need to grow roots somewhere. We need to realize that we don't go through life alone. God is all about growing a body of believers. He's about family. He's a people person. Pastor says it all the time. He's in the people business. And we need to realize that when we come together, that's what he's doing. He's growing a body of believers. We shouldn't just stop coming to church because it's just church. Unfortunately, I hear so many people say, oh, we can have church at home, or I can just watch a video on TV, or I'll just put on my worship music, and that's my church. And there is a time for that. I understand that. I understand that there's extreme circumstances where people are immobile, they can't move, maybe they're sick at home, and that's what has to happen. However, even in those situations, I pray that those people are still connected to a local church so people in that local church can go to them and pray over them and still be part of that church. So even Jesus, at 12 years old, was found in a church. His parents were walking home, and they didn't know where Jesus was. I mean, forgot your kids before. Once. I did it once. So thank you, Nathan, for bringing him to us. So Jesus' parents were going home. They didn't know where Jesus was. They had to go back. Where was Jesus? He was in a church. He was in a temple of God worshiping. And the Greek word for church, and I encourage you to go through your Bible. Don't just take my word for it. There are many places in the New Testament, especially, that they refer to the house of God, going somewhere, going to church, being in a church. The Greek word for church is ekklesia. So ekklesia means assembly, because the term ekklesia was used to refer to a group of people who had been called out to a meeting. It was also used as a synonym for the word synagogue, which also means come together. It means gathering. And that's just it. We shouldn't and don't have to just go to church. We are the church. We don't need to be planted. We do need to be planted, though, in the house of God when we go. So we go to church, but then we need to sow in the house of God. We need to be planted somewhere so that our roots can get down deep and we're able to sprout and to flourish. Acts 2 talks about the day of Pentecost when they were all up in the upper room speaking in other tongues. And the Bible says that they came together in one room. Acts 2:42 shows us that what the early church did when they came together. It says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Christians came together to learn God's word and the implications of it in their lives. In Acts 20, verse 7, it says, on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept talking until midnight. That is a long church service. But this is what Christians did even from the start. It's what we continue to do today. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, it says, let us not neglect our meeting together as some do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. When you are planted in the house of God, that's when you flourish. That's when you can come to your full potential. Because when a seed is planted, that's when breakthrough happens. That's when you're able to rise through and you're able to be what God has called you to be. And that's when you flourish. The word flourish means to grow luxuriantly, to achieve success, to reach your height of development or influence. I want to reach my maximum height of development and influence. And the way that I'm going to do that is to be grounded, is to be planted, because when I'm planted in the house of God, we will flourish in the courts of the Lord. When you are planted, I'm going to say this a lot, and I hope it just keeps going through your mind, you will flourish. And I'm going to give you a few things on how you flourish when you're planted. When you're planted, we flourish by being accountable. Nobody likes that word, I know. That's why I'm doing it first. When planted, we flourish by being accountable. A Christian who answers only to himself can easily rationalize sinful attitudes or actions. Regular contact with other Christians can keep us sharp. If I am my own person, which I am, but if I'm off by myself all the time, if I'm just doing my own thing and I don't have any contact with any other Christians or any other leaders, it's very easy for me to rationalize my actions because it's just me. I can rationalize sin very easily. I can rationalize my decisions very easily because no one else is around me caring what I do. However, when you're planted in the house of God and there's people around you, then that's when we are held accountable. The Bible says that iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Now that I'm accountable, I'm here in the house of God, I have my friends, if I start to do something a little like, what is she doing? My friends come alongside of me and say, Aaron, knock it off. What are you doing? What were you thinking? Why would you say that? Watch your face. That's the one I get a lot. Watch your actions. What is your face saying? Right? They hold me accountable to what I'm doing. And also, our leaders and our pastors hold us accountable too. It's what they're supposed to do. In Hebrews 13:17, it says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. We need to learn how to be held accountable by our pastors and our leaders. And that's not always easy, and it's not always fun, because they will call you out on stuff that you don't want to be called out on. They'll say, Aaron, why did you do that? And my first response as a human is like, what do you care? I don't got to listen to you. I'm going to do what I want. But that's not their job. Their job is to help us. Their job is to guide us. Their job is to hold us accountable to our actions and to what we say and do. And we need to be held accountable. We need those people in our lives. So when we're planted, we flourish by being held accountable. When you're planted, you flourish in your gifts. And I can preach on this for hours. And I know I've said it before. Anytime I can insert it into a message, I will. I will preach on it until the day that I die because it's something I truly, honestly believe in. That every single one of us has gifts and talents given to us by God. Every single one of us in this room. Our talent is God's gift to us. What we do with that talent is our gift back to God. What are you doing with the gifts and the talents that He has given you? You all have something. What are we doing with it? So I was cleaning my kitchen last night. Such a fun job. And as I'm cleaning, I started to think about this phrase because this is what my mind does. We all have heard this phrase. It's especially true in like the workplace. I'm sure you've heard it. And, you know, I've heard it in the dance world. And I'm sure like a lot of actors, theater places, you hear this too. So this is the phrase, everyone's replaceable. Did you hear that before? Everyone's replaceable. I began to think about this as I'm cleaning my kitchen. And I began to feel replaceable. I began to feel, you know what? It doesn't really matter if I show up to church. It really doesn't matter if I do what I'm supposed to, like what I think I should be doing, because I'm replaceable. And I began to think that. I'm cleaning. Whatever. I'm just replaceable. It's so stupid, right? Because that's what our mind does. And I heard God in that moment say, you are not replaceable. Tell my people they're not replaceable. Nobody in this room can replace what you do. Nobody. We may have the same gifts as somebody else. There's a lot of preachers in here. There's a lot of teachers in here. There's a lot of people that can greet in here. There's a lot of people that encourage people in here. There's a lot of musicians in here. There's a lot of singers in here. And there's even gifts in here that we don't even know about yet. Because we sit and we think, well, I'm just replaceable. It doesn't matter if I'm doing what I think I should be doing because somebody else can do it. That is not true. Nobody can replace what you can do. Nobody. And I think about that in this room, that if we really stepped up and we really did what we knew to do, how much greater of a force of God that we would have to be reckoned with. Because you would be doing what you were called to do. No one can replace you. No one. You might have, like I said, the same gift as someone else, but no one's going to do it the way that you're going to do it. You are not replaceable. You have a gift. You have something to offer. Now is the time to get planted, get rooted, and begin to flourish in the gift that God has given you. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. We are to use the gifts that God has given us to serve others. Someone in this room needs what you have to offer so that they can be encouraged. Someone in this room may walk out of here today because you're not doing what God has asked you to do, and they might feel a little low. But if you stepped up and you did what God has given you to do, everyone's going to walk out feeling blessed and encouraged because we use our gifts to serve others, not to be served, but to serve. When you're planted, you flourish in your gifts. When you're planted, you flourish by being united. We are united in here to be strong out there. United together in here to be strong out there. We are one body, one spirit, like-minded. Philippians 2:2 says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and in one mind. 1 Peter 3:8 says, finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate, be humble. How do we be like-minded? We meet together. We come together. Ecclesia, we have that assembly together. We worship together. We have the same purpose in mind, and that purpose is knowing God and making him known. We come together. Ecclesia, that's when we are united. And when we're united in here, when we walk out those doors, we know that somebody has our back. We know that we're not walking through life alone. We know that we can call our friend and say, you know what, I'm really struggling this week. I need your help. Can you pray for me? Because we're united in here, because we came together in here, because we're planted in the house of the Lord. So when you're planted, we flourish by being united. And our last thing, when we're planted, we flourish. And when we flourish, we set an example for our children's children. We set the standard for the next generation. The Bible says to train up a child in the way that they will go, and when he is old, he will not depart. Listen, I know some of you have kids in here that have turned away from God. If you pointed them in the right direction when they were little, they will return. They know who God is in their life, and I believe that. They'll come back. Don't let that stop you, though, from setting an example for the next generation, for the generation that's watching you. Even for those of us that maybe don't have kids in here, they see you. They watch you. They know that you're here. We set the standard. We set an example for the next generation. If we don't set a standard for the upcoming generations, we will see the church attendance on a decline because they won't know what to do. They won't know where to go. In this day and age, they have so many things coming at them, so many different beliefs, so many different thoughts, and they're paying attention to all of them. So we need to set the standard. We need to say, listen, come to church, get planted in a church that you know you can be planted in. Get your roots down in there. Don't just go to church. Don't just be an attender. Get your roots down in there, and then you will flourish. We need to be an example to those around us and to our kids. So for those of you parents that have a girl who's probably 10 or younger, you know this name, JoJo Siwa. Yes? Oh, yeah. Okay. So JoJo, if you see my little girl, she usually has a big old bow in her hair. That's where JoJo bows came from, is this girl JoJo. So she has a YouTube channel, and JoJo is friends with a little girl named Everly. So Everly, who's 6, more people know her than all of us in this room put together. So Everly is 6, and she has a YouTube channel and an Instagram. So being a mom, I follow JoJo and Everly. And Everly's parents happen to be Christian. And I was like, you can watch every Everly video there is. You're good. So Everly's parents happen to be Christians. And so I follow them on Instagram too. And so last week, Everly's dad, you can read their story online somewhere. It's pretty cool. So Everly's dad posted this picture. And that's Everly up on top. You can see already in like 5 hours that's how many likes they got. But so that's Everly, and that's her dad, Cole. And I read what he wrote in this paragraph I'm going to read to you. And man, it tugged on my heartstrings for sure. He writes this: Savannah took this picture of me and Ev worshiping last night. I love it. I'm also learning really fast that this little girl watches and mimics every move me and Savannah make, just like every kid does with their parents. Some things she mimics, I'm not always proud of, but I sure do pray all my kids, even at a young age, realize how vital Jesus is. Some people tell us, don't brainwash your kid. Let her choose and believe what she wants. And she definitely will. But whether we want to believe it or not, we're all going to influence our kids one way or another towards something. If we don't, then the world will. I just hope my kids know there is a real God who loves them so much more than I ever could and will give them the hope and the strength every day to be truly happy in this life. Man, I read that and I cried because that's what I do. But what a powerful statement. If we don't influence our kids, then the world will. What are we influencing our kids towards? I'd rather be told that I'm brainwashing my kid for Jesus than letting them just go off in the world and figure it out by themselves. I'd rather let them see me fight sometimes in my relationship with God. I'd rather let them see me give everything I have because I don't want the world to influence what they do. We all have an impact on our kids. We all have an impact on the next generation. And they're watching. They're watching to see what we do. They're watching to see how we handle things. They're watching our example. They're looking to us. Be an influencer. When you're planted in the house of the Lord, you will flourish in the courts of our God. That's when you flourish. Get planted. Don't just attend a church. Get grounded. Get rooted. Flourish in God's courts. Use the gifts that God has given you. Be accountable to those around you. And then learn to be united, ecclesia, with other believers. We go, we sow, and we grow. That's how we grow. That's how we grow in our relationship with God. That's how we grow the church. And that's how we grow in the next generation. Be that example to those kids. Be that example to the people looking at you. Don't just be a tender. Don't just go to church, but get rooted, get grounded, get planted in the house of the Lord, because then you flourish in the courts of our God. Amen? Let's pray real quick. God, I thank you. I thank you, God, for every person here. I pray that, God, we dig our roots down deep, God, in your house. God, I pray that we're able to step up and get planted the place that you have for us, God, that we're able to use our gifts, that we're able to be united with other believers, God, and that we're held accountable with our actions so that the next generation sees who you are. I thank you for that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give God a hand.